WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a fresh Preakness week here. This guy didn't know much about the races, but he knows a lot about football around here. Luke Jones joins us now. At some point, I'm going to get you out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and I hear the food up at the local in Falston is going to be phenomenal next Tuesday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. But you'll be on the other end of the world, right? There is an Owings Mills watch now on Lamar. Got how much in a signing bonus? $73 million. What? So I was like, and you think he didn't win the negotiation? But the watch is on now for whatever the installation of all of this is. It's quiet because we're watching baseball right now, and I'm seeing Janet Jackson, and we're waiting on the race, and Bruno Mars is coming to town, and John Waite, and all, and Ohtani. We have all these rock stars in town, but really, the football people are very wildly excited, and there's like a fresh day in the building, I would think, at this point, if you're going to the building to work every day.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think for the first time, and you know, you got a little bit of this with the Odell Beckham signing, you know, what was that, Easter night, and there was some enthusiasm there, because I mean, that was the first really notable signing, notable addition they had made. But of course, you know, when you're talking about hours before the draft starts, something that had been 2 years in the making finally happens. I think for everyone, not just the organization, but the fan base itself, there was the thought, a sense of relief of the focus is going to go back to the field again. And yeah, I mean, Lamar's contract will be talked about, whether he plays great, whether he plays not so great, depending on what happens with the salary cap and roster moves over the next few years. I mean, that's part of it. And that's the same way in every market that has a quarterback that's receiving top tier money. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. We talked about it with Joe Flacco for years.
You pay your quarterback $50 million a year. You don't hope you're going to win the Super Bowl. You have to believe you're going to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, literally. Sure. And you know, how much of hope versus belief? I mean, hey, you still have to go out and do it. And there are still plenty of great, great players who never won a championship. And yeah, that's just the way it works. There are no guarantees. But there's just such a sense now of focusing on the field and focusing on football. And I think the schedule coming out on Thursday night added to that, where you get that context, you know, now the season's going to start at home September 10th against Houston, and for the first six on the road, we know they're going to London. They're playing the Christmas night game against the 49ers. You got four primetime games, three of them on the road. So you have all that context now, right? I mean, we spend so much time. I mean, you and I talk about the Ravens multiple times a week, even when there isn't a whole lot going, because it is king when it comes to sports. And you know, with apologies to the Orioles, who have been outstanding, it's the same in every market. I mean, the ratings bear that out. I mean, you don't have to look too far to understand why, but there is just such a sense of that's over now and you can focus on football. And now that you have the schedule and you're trying to eye that up, or are they going to go 12-5? Is it going to be 11-6? Where's, you know, how tough is Cincinnati going to be? You know, Cleveland just got Za'Darius Smith via trade. So, you know, you wonder where the Browns are with Deshaun Watson's suspension behind him and a full normal offseason. Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, is he going to take a step forward? How dangerous will the Steelers be if he can do that? You know, you just have all that excitement, and yeah, the business of the game is part of it and will continue to be, because we're still going to talk about the Ravens salary cap picture and can they add another edge rusher? Do they need to add another corner between now and September 10th? But you know, it's refreshing to not have that same story we're talking about over and over and over and over. And yes, we'll still talk about it, and we're still going to talk about Lamar. I mean, my goodness, he's the face of the franchise, but it is, there's a different tone now, and you can sense the excitement amidst everything else going on with the Orioles and everything else going on downtown. It's Preakness week, all of that, but there's still that sense of, yeah, the Ravens are still going to be the main event come fall because football is king. But you know, it's much, much easier now to think about it in those more enjoyable terms than, you know, that sense of unknown and bracing for the potential worst case scenario that was out there for quite some time. Let's face it.
Well, you know, this has been such a hard off season, right? And it's been such a weird time for you and me on the radio. I mean, I'm really proud of our work. I mean, in my 25th year of the station and 32nd year of doing this, we're at a point now, and I've talked about this for a week or two, Because, look, you can sell me the Orioles ish in March. Oh, you know, I used to be the guy going down there shoveling it at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, waiting for Bill Stecca to let me into the stadium so I could shovel that they might win 85 games or whatever. The real belief and the feeling I have about going downtown, whether it's at Fadley's doing the crab cake tour and having Ron Legler on from the Hippodrome and then my kid going to six and friends going down there, or me going down and getting an Eagles ticket on my own and seeing the CFG Bank Arena, or getting invited by the president to go sit in the front row with Janet Jackson on Saturday night and see the place and see people checking their phones for Orioles scores. And I can't imagine where the Ravens would be right now if the Lamar thing had gone sideways 15 days ago. If they were in a real pissing match with him, as they easily could have been, right, for all of this, that it feels like all the chakras are aligning here for the city. In some weird way, I'm very inspired by it, driving into the city, seeing it at the bottom, living there for 20 years. I walk down Park Avenue after getting these Janet Jackson tickets past the Chinese joints where my mom took me when I was a little boy. And so I walk some really not so great parts of the city, and I see hope coming because I see people coming back. And more than that, the football team sits above all of this. They're more important than any of the rest of this to most people, and have been for a generation now. And the one thing I see in the squirt section, I counted 500 people, two people of color in the section. Like, I see this on television. It plays out. Then I go to Janet Jackson and I see a multicultural city. I go to SEAL in Philadelphia and I go to SEAL in Washington. I see multicultural city. And you know, the Orioles have a ways to go in that department. But I would say for the Ravens, it'll be quiet, quiet, quiet. But every time you're out there that they allow you in and deny me access, and you can watch a practice, be a part of it, I think the energy for the football team, because of the baseball team, because of the city, everybody's coming downtown. Whether it was to see New Edition last week, whether it's to see Chris Stapleton, whether it's to see everybody will be in the city at some point to see a baseball game, a concert, something this summer. But then the Ravens are going to play, and the Orioles, I don't think the Orioles are going to be in a pennant race. And I've said this, I don't think there's going to be a pennant race. I think by September, we're going to be thinking about October for baseball. But then the Ravens are going to play, and they're going to play Houston. And I just know how important football is here. And it's going to bubble below because you're going to be at the ballpark 5 nights a week for the first time in a long, you'll mention Buck and all that. But I think this is a different level of excitement because it's ground floor, it's young players, it's squirt sections. Peter's eating pudding and they're like trying to have some fun down there again. They're discounting, they're doing things to that by September, there's going to be an orange tsunami, but it's all going to stop on that first Sunday for football. And I just think this is an amazing year, I think, for sports here. And the Lamar signing brings hope, whether it's you and I can fight or whether they're really going to win the Super Bowl or not, but they're going to win a lot of football games, and they're going to have as long as he stays healthy, $52 million player, they're going to be relevant. And the relevance is going to be a different kind of relevance because the baseball team plays every night. And we haven't had that here, I'll say, in a generation. You can make up whenever you want, but I think the Ravens are going to go to below the fold for a little while. And that's probably good for them. Chad Steele likes that. He gets paid the same either way. They're going to be quiet and peaceful as long as a medevac doesn't show up, as long as red lights don't show up late at night and they make some stupid headlines, which is always possible. I mean, they had a player die 11 months ago, like literally in the wrong side of town. So as long as nothing like that happens for the franchise, they're right where John wants them. Quiet, below the fold, working hard, installing it off, doing all of this, the hard work, the stuff where you win a championship. This is the time for them.
Sure. I mean, I'll liken it to a pro wrestling card. You have all these other things going on. I mean, the Orioles right now are stealing the show with not just getting off to a good start, but a really good start. And you mentioned all the other concerts, all the AEW was at the arena not about 2 weeks ago. I mean, there's plenty
Prettiest is
going
here
on.
this week. Ohtani's. This is a big. This is. I can't imagine a week like this. We have
Right.
a football team that everybody thinks can win the Super Bowl. We have a baseball team that everybody thinks is going to the playoffs. We have the biggest horse race in the world. I mean, this. We have an arena that really is like
Yeah.
It looks like Madison Square Garden. I mean, this is a beautiful thing for Baltimore right now, and I think it's even more beautiful that we're not all sitting around bitching about Lamar anymore. That's over with. That's good.
Exactly. And like I said, as I was making my comparison here, I mean, the Ravens are the main event in the fall. And but the thing is, you have all these other things going on now. The pressure is going to be on to live up to those expectations, right? And I will, I know you've been more dismissive about this, and I disagree with that part of it, but I'll liken this to 2012. I go back to that year. The Orioles had lost 93 games the year before that, and suddenly they were a 93 win team. And, Machado comes up in August, they make the playoffs, they take the Yankees to five games in the divisional round, and that was a really fun season. And for the Ravens, there was some pressure. Keep in mind, this is coming off the heels of Billy Cundiff and Lee Evans and losing to New England in the AFC Championship game. And then we know what the Ravens did that fall in that winter. So that's not to say that the Ravens have to win the Super Bowl, but the point is the Orioles, with business picking up for them and excitement really picking up for them, starting last year, but especially this year, when you're talking about a team that's kind of been flirting with 667 ball. That's kind of where they've been for a while now, early in this season. That, it's not just that the Lamar thing's done, but it's okay, it's time to roll. It's time. Everything's in place. Monken, Odell Beckham, you just drafted another wide receiver. Four out of your five starting offensive linemen are back. Your top two running backs are back. You have Mark Andrews and two talented tight ends behind him. Everything is in place. Your defense looks a little bit different, but on the heels of a really strong finish to last season, and Mike McDonald in his second year as coordinator, and Roquan Smith locked up now. Everything is in place for this team to not just be really good, but to make that playoff run, to make that deep run into January. So now, of course, that's January. That's a long ways off. I mean, we're still months away from even kicking off the season, but it really does speak to the Ravens kind of laying low, as you mentioned, and the focus being on football. And yes, there will be attention on OTA attendance and who's there and Lamar and all those different things. But
What are the expectations on Lamar then? I mean, at 52, and listen, I've seen this job and I saw it eat guys up. I mean, you and I talked about Vinny Testaverde. People can go find that at Baltimore Positive about what he found when he got here. There was all of the Flacco years. I mean, Chris Redman comes on all the time, Kyle Bowler. Like, for these guys to take on this gig this time of year, what should Aaron Rodgers be doing in a new place in New York? What should Lamar be doing, not just with a new contract, but with a new everything here? New players, guys he had, Zay Flowers, guys he didn't even, that he needs to get on the field with. How early? It's too early. Because I will say this, and you know this, dude, once July 2020 runs around, right? It's over for these guys for anything other than rest, the playbook, the gym, teammates, getting on a plane, I mean, the season is really, really a grind when you're making $52 million a year, and that level of expectation is now there.
Yeah, absolutely. And to answer your question, and I know because they had the access last week to football school. I mean, people are calling it OTAs. OTAs start next week. That's when we start getting into the actual offense versus defense, full team practice. Still voluntary, but that's when the structure really starts. So, some people made something about Lamar not being there at football school last week. There are lots of veterans that weren't there last week, and believe me, Nestor, I've seen lots of football practices. I've been out there plenty of days, whether we're talking about August when it's 96 degrees and humid, or whether it's rookie camp the first weekend in May. What they were doing this past week, I would not sweat veterans not being out there. They're not even in helmets. They're not even wearing jerseys. It's very, I want to say low level because that's insulting to the guys that were there, but it's much more elementary than talking about getting ready for Steelers week or
But these are
Bengals
guys
week.
that haven't been in a building before. These
Well,
are
sure.
guys that were at Bethune-Cookman or something.
Right.
These are
Well,
like in some cases, and some of them were at Iowa, right? But like,
right. So, but my point is, some people were making something out of, oh, Lamar's not there for football school. Next week is when OTAs start. My expectation, and I'm saying this as the guy who said, hey, it's voluntary. And I was saying last year when he wasn't there for OTAs, look, I think it's a symptom that all isn't kumbaya, contractually speaking, but he's entitled to skip OTAs. If he's not there for OTAs, then that's a different conversation. Football school and what they're doing these last few weeks, and to your point, once late July rolls around, their lives are basically football, and maybe they go out to dinner occasionally, and that's about it, right?
I did the math on this, and I hadn't thought about this until 10 minutes ago in this segment, because I thought $52 million, I'm like, that's $3 million a game. He's getting $750,000 a quarter to go play football on Sundays, Mondays, and sometimes on Thursdays, and sometimes in time. Yeah. And sometimes on Christmas, but he doesn't get bonus time for that, like a cab driver. But listen, he will only be judged on that.
Sure.
Here, I mean, that and whatever stupid stuff he says on the internet or stupid stuff he's shown doing or whatever, his tweets, whatever. Like, but none of that affected how he got paid. None of his bad behavior, none of his skipping OTAs, none of any of that has been punished in any way. It's been rewarded. He hadn't played in two Decembers. He got paid. He's top. So now, I don't know what the level of expectation in the building from him is in May and June and July and August. I don't want to say I don't care. They've thrown me out to not care. And by the way, we're watching the baseball team and I got some concerts coming up and I'm enjoying my life and like that. But come September 10th, that's when they get judged. And that's when you and I write columns off the games and we say they're 1-0, they're 0-1. And what are they doing? And everything between here and there is a preparation for that, that we're going to be watching. But how critical can you be of them at this point? And I even think to myself, so what if he's not there next week? I mean, he's making $52 million. I would be there. But there's also a point for a 25-year-old kid that's 5 years into this saying, doesn't matter. And I'm going to be there for everything you need me to be there for until they break me in half, which I've been from the beginning, because he showed up last year and I know Dennis would say he made business decisions on the field, but I mean, he was ready to lead them to wins. You know, he was ready to lead them and he led them. So, and he's led them for five. This is why they gave all the money. They believe in him.
Sure.
So if you believe in him, then whatever he does here, whatever he tweets, whatever sign he holds up, whatever speed he drives his car on Instagram, as long as he's alive and breathing and doesn't break the law and shows up and plays football and makes $3 million a Sunday, they just need to win 12, 11, 13, something like that, right? Like, that's all that needs to happen here.
Well, I'll disagree a little bit because I don't think it's about the regular season anymore. Now, granted, you have to play at a certain level to get into the tournament. It's all about January at this point. And one, he's got to be on the field. That's the given, right? That's the requisite that hasn't been there the last couple of years. And that's
and
part
nobody's
of it, sure.
In control of that, by the way.
Sure. Guys get hurt. I mean, let's acknowledge that. And it's not as though he's had these debilitating, you know, ACL type things. You know, he's fully healthy. He said he's fully cleared from the PCL last year. But ultimately, it's about January. And that's not just for Lamar. Let's be clear about that. You know, this team, as it's presently constructed, Justin Tucker's the only guy left from Super Bowl 47. I mean, that's where they are at this point. John Harbaugh is now a decade removed from winning a Super Bowl. And
well,
I don't mean
what
that.
Josh Allen is up against. The only thing they have is Steve Tasker and Jim Kelly, and they didn't even win. Like,
right,
literally,
well,
right?
But Buffalo at this point, I mean, look at them. I mean, they had the epic playoff loss to the Chiefs in 2021 postseason, and they're chasing it, right? I mean, everyone not that's, and this is why I've said this to you about, you know, going back to the Lamar contract debate and paying them and talking about Super Bowls and all that. All these young quarterbacks, other than Mahomes, are chasing that, right? They're all chasing Mahomes.
Dude,
so
I took a mouthy Eagles fan down to Janet Jackson on Saturday night. And I know you probably know some mouthy Eagle fans that you're related to that you spent the weekend with. And they just all are convinced. I have a green shirt on. They're just all convinced that this kid's going to win three of them up there, right?
Well, I'll give him the nod. We'll see about the Super Bowls. Jalen Hurts got his Masters, though. I thought that was pretty cool. Impressive guy. So impressive.
Well, apparently this kid in Indianapolis, Richards, he's really been impressive in a lot of ways to people in Indianapolis in a leadership way. Look, we haven't got through Trevor Lawrence and, you know, the last class that hadn't even gotten there yet, and Justin Herbert. This is This is big stakes, and it's really tough to win.
And
if Lamar doesn't win, it doesn't mean he stinks. It means he didn't win, because it's really, really hard to win. So when I say I'm unsure if Lamar is ever going to bring a Super Bowl here, I think you could say that you could bet against most of these guys, because over the next 10 years, only going to be four or five of them that win, and one of them's going to win a couple times, and I bet Mahomes isn't done. I don't think any of us believes Mahomes is done.
Yeah, I mean, that's just where it is. And even Mahomes, I mean, go back and look at Tom Brady. I mean, he wins three out of four, 01, 03, 04, and you're thinking, okay, dynasty. And it was, but then it was 10 years until he won another one. Now he got to a few over that time, but it was 10 years until he won another one and had that second chapter of a dynasty, whatever you want to call it. So it is tough. And as much as we look at these quarterbacks, and we always attach the win-loss record to the quarterback and the head coach, right? We know there are a heck of a lot of people that are involved in that, and a heck of a lot of people who have a major impact on that. And it can be a key injury at the one spot or the two spots that your depth isn't quite as good. It can be the way the schedule falls and just, you know, how that lines
up. It could be
Lee
Evans dropping a ball in the corner of the end zone and Billy Cundiff missing a kick. And you mean
exactly.
Lee Norwood, we're not talking about ball. I mean, in those moments, that makes it all the more amazing, the Mile High Miracle and Tucker hitting the kick in Denver and just you know, everything that went right for me to write Purple Rain 2 a decade ago, feels like 5 minutes ago. But for Lamar to pull that off, that's a January thing, to your point, and this is when all of that happens. But I think this is going to be a nice, peaceful couple months for them. I think John likes that. Chad Steele likes that. Steve likes that. Eric will like that. They got to go get a Justin Houston or whatever, and at some point in the next couple of weeks, something will pop, and we'll get a WNST text courtesy of Coons Baltimore Ford. But the baseball team and the elixir of summer and life is going to pull the air out of the purple balloon that for 3 months was sitting on top of spring training and everything else, kind of, sort of, right?
Absolutely. That's why I use the wrestling analogy, you know, and wrestling, boxing, MMA, whatever, where you have a card, right? You have all these different cards or all these different fights on your card, and then you have the main event. The Ravens are still going to be the main event. Now, if the Orioles go to the World Series, then we'll revisit that mindset. And I don't say that as any diss on the Orioles, because what they're doing right now is exciting and fun and very engaging. And I think you're going to see that reflected at the ballpark over the course of the summer. But the Ravens are still the main event, as the NFL is the main event in sports in this country. So, but you're right. There's a sense now of the Lamar business is done. And again, we'll continue to talk about it. We'll talk about it for years. But expectations, high as they are, there is a sense now of focus back on the field. There's plenty else going on, so it doesn't mean that everyone's going to be breathlessly waiting for OTA and training camp updates, but they'll be engaged. But there's plenty to go on. And then when they kick off in September, and you hope that's in concert with the Orioles locking up a playoff spot at the very least, or being in contention for that, it's going to be a fun September. It really is. And expectations for this team and for Lamar Jackson are very high, and they should be. It is time for this team to go to the next step and get beyond a divisional round. I mean, it just is. It's been since 2014, last time 2012 gone beyond the divisional round. I misspoke there. So it's been a long time. So the expectations are high. Pressure is going to be there for Lamar Jackson and the rest of this football team, but it's a good kind of pressure. It's a different kind of pressure than the pressure we were talking about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, wondering if Lamar Jackson was even going to be here, let alone having him locked up for a long-term contract and knowing he's going to be your quarterback for at least the next few years.
Ah, the honeymoon period. Luke Jones will be covering all of it out in Owings Mills and down at Camden Yards. I mean, the Orioles on fire, Otani in this week, Preakness, Bruno Mars, all sorts of awesomeness happening. And the Maryland Crab Cake Tour coming back to Falston at the local next Tuesday, the 23rd from 2 until 5. Be giving away these instant lottery scratch-offs on that afternoon. Also have some great, great guests up in Harford County next week. It is all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing all month long. Happy Preakness, happy spring. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.